About the opportunity for a new beginning. You know, everybody loves a parade and a celebration. Everyone loves to be part of the big and exciting event. Early in Frank Sinatra's career, George Evans, his publicist, used some slick tricks to get Sinatra extra publicity. Evans hired teenage girls to hang around outside the club where Sinatra was singing. When he came out of the club, they were paid to scream out his name and swoon. He even arranged for an ambulance to park outside the club. The fake hysterics worked. Crowds packed the club to hear this fabulous new singer. Well, back in Jesus' day, there were people in Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday who were there mainly for the spectacular. They had heard of this new itinerant preacher who, they said, could heal the sick and raise the dead. They had also heard that he was not intimidated by the secular authorities or the religious establishment. They had been told that he was a master communicator. The common people heard him gladly. He did not use the vague abstractions or the stuffy illusions of the theologically sophisticated when he talked to them. Instead, he told simple stories that revealed timeless truths. And now he was bringing his play to Broadway, you might say. He had played well in Peoria, but now it was time to conquer the Great White Way in Jerusalem. And so they stood there waiting with their palm branches and their cheers. What a festive time it was for everybody. But Palm Sunday is not the focus of our scripture for today. The focus is on Christ's passion. The good feelings of Palm Sunday quickly disappeared. The crowd faded away, and even worse was the apostasy of Jesus' own disciples. Judas betrayal and Peter's denial, and after his arrest, the others had all scattered in fear that they also might have to suffer. Jesus Jesus stood before Pilate, and later Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "So you say." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, and even to Jerusalem." And they were right. Jesus stirred up the people with his teachings. There is no place on this earth where the teachings of Jesus are not a threat. Whether it's in Galilee or Jerusalem or Baghdad or Washington, D.C. or even here in our own city, sociologists keep telling us that we live in a post-Christian world. But you and I know we still live in a pre-Christian world. Jesus stirs up the people with his teachings. Who among us loves as Jesus loved? Who among us has sacrificed as he sacrificed? Oh, every once in a while we hear about someone with the kind of love that Jesus had. During World War II, 29-year-old Irina Sandler, a Polish social worker, worked as a smuggler. But Irene Sandler wasn't smuggling artwork or drugs or other lucrative black market goods. Instead, she was smuggling babies. As a Catholic social worker in Warsaw, Poland, Irina saw how Hitler's forces were mistreating the Jewish people. When the Gestapo rounded up all the Jews in Warsaw and forced them into a ghetto, Irina decided to take action. She joined the Zlata, an underground network of people who risked their lives to help the imprisoned Jews. She learned how to create Gentile birth certificates for Jewish babies. She also forged travel documents so that Jewish families and children could travel to other countries. As a nurse, she working inside the ghetto. Irina hid babies and children in suitcases and potato sacks and ambulances and even in body bags. The smuggled children were given Gentile identities and sent to live with Gentile families or were sent to convents and orphanages in other countries. In 2 years' time, Irina, with the help of her Zagata colleagues, smuggled over 2,500 children out of Warsaw Ghetto. At one point, she was arrested by the Gestapo and interrogated. In spite of beating so brutal that they broke both of her legs and feet, Irina never confessed to her activities. She was sentenced to be executed by the Nazis, but a Zagata colleague bribed the guard and Irina was set free. Today, at the age of 93, Irina Sandler lives in a nursing home in Warsaw, Poland. She has great difficulty in walking, a side effect of the beating she received at the hands of the Nazi soldiers. She is attended by a woman whom Irina smuggled out as an infant. And Irina's story might never have been known if it were not for three high school students in Uniontown, Kansas. While researching a history project, the three girls came across a reference to Irina Sandler. They researched her life and wrote a play about Irina's daring efforts in behalf of the Jewish children. That play led to newspaper articles, an international attention, and finally a face-to-face meeting with their ghetto hero in 2000. In a letter to these girls, Irina Sandler wrote, "You have done a big work for all the world, your homeland, Poland, and for me. I warmly believe that you will always go the same way to stop wars and evil at last. And goodness will win." That's a lofty ambition. To finally stop wars and evil, and goodness will win. That's what Irina Sandler is all about. And that's what Jesus is all about. He stirs the people up. He challenges our whole way of doing things. To see the world as Jesus saw the world is to be born all over again. And that's how far ahead of the world's thinking Jesus was. In order to think as Jesus thought and love as Jesus loved, you and I would have to be ripped from our cultural moorings. Something radical would need to happen in our hearts and our minds, something akin to a new birth. There is an interesting discussion recently on the internet about radiator caps. Yeah, that's what I said, radiator caps. Stay with me now for a moment. A man posted an article that he had written on the internet about an old car he once had. In his words, this car was ratty and ragged, driven when he was a poor college student. He was having trouble with something he couldn't readily identify. So he took it to a garage. The mechanic looked it all over in a couple of minutes and he said, "Well, what you need is the radiator cap solution." And the young automobile owner said, "Oh," trying not to sound too confused, And then he said, do you mean the radiator cap isn't holding enough pressure? And the mechanic said, well, that's part of the problem. But what you really need is to lift the radiator cap and drive another car under it. And then the next day, you can replace the radiator cap and it'll solve your problem. Now, there's a little aside right here. I know that what some of you are thinking right now about my car, you know, a 1985 Mercury Grand Prix, San Marcos. Anyway, you're thinking, Pastor, it's about time you should participate in a radiator cap solution. But I want you to know that my 1985 Mercury Marquis was driven by a little old lady back to the store and back because when I bought it 6 or 8 years ago, it only had 20,000 miles on it. And right now it only has 68,000 miles on it. And I love driving my tank. I was rear-ended by a 1993 Buick last November. Guess which car got smashed up? I only suffered a bent bumper with the marks of a Buick grill on it. I love driving my tank. Now back to the message of the morning and the radiator cap solution. In order to have a mind and a heart of Christ, that is what many of us would have to do. Replace not just our attitudes and opinions, but lift these attitudes and opinions and drive a whole brand new person under them. And then throw them out and replace them with new attitudes and opinions. It's interesting to note how we spend our money to make ourselves better people. Now, according to an article in the Ladies' Home Journal of December of last year, that's 2003, Americans spent over $38 billion on anti-aging medicine. I don't know if anybody here that did that, but think about that, $38 billion on anti-aging medicine, and then more than $6 billion on plastic surgery. But we need more than cosmetic surgery. We need more than a new tonic to give us energy. We need a new orientation. The Apostle Paul, in our scripture for this morning in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 6th through the 11th verse, states, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. See him as he kneels in the Garden of Gethsemane after he has ate his last supper with his disciples. Sweat falls from his forehead like great drops of blood, as he prays, not my will, but thine be done. Have you ever prayed that prayer with that kind of intensity? Lord God, help me to be centered in your will. Help me to be the husband or wife or single person or mom or dad or teenager or student that you want me to be. Help me to think as Jesus thought, love as Jesus loved, sacrifice as Jesus sacrificed. Take the radiator cap of my life and drive a whole new car under it. Jesus stirs up the people with his teachings. To see the world as Jesus saw the world, we would have to all be born anew. And again, thanks to Christ's death upon the cross in Calvary, that opportunity is now ours. When will we understand that Christ came not simply to get people into heaven, but to get heaven into people? Christ wants us to be renewed within. He wants to take away our fears and our doubts and our resentment and our pain. He wants to heal hurt caused by envy and resentment and anger. Nothing but a complete radiator cap solution will do. Have you noticed how restless some people are nowadays? They're constantly changing jobs, changing locations, even changing spouses. But they're never happy, because in each new job or new community or new relationship, they are still the same old person. It's because they need radical surgery on their spiritual heart. Christ gave his life that we might experience newness of life. Many of you remember Gracie Allen, the comedian, who with her husband, George Burns, made America laugh for years. When Gracie was just a toddler, she pulled a pot of boiling water off the stove. Her left arm was badly burned from shoulder to wrist. She hid her scars with long sleeves and fancy dresses and fancy gloves. And when she and George Burns became a hit comedy act on vaudeville circuit, many other female comedians began wearing long-sleeved dresses and fancy gloves. Everyone thought Gracie was just a trendsetter. Only those closest to her knew how self-conscious she was about her scars. After Gracie retired from show business, George asked her one night if there was anything she would like to have been able to do in her lifetime. And Gracie replied in all seriousness that she wished she could spend one evening in a sleeveless evening gown. After the first Easter in the upper room, when Thomas was filled with doubt, what did he ask for? He asked to see the scars of the nail prints in Jesus Christ's hands and feet and the mark of the sword in his side. Those scars were there for you and for me. From the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, see from his hands, his feet and side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing and so divine demands my life, my soul, and my all." Jesus still stirs up people with his teachings. To see the world as Jesus saw the world, we would have to be born all over again. And thanks to Christ's death upon the cross in Calvary, during this whole, that opportunity is now ours. During this Holy Week, we open ourselves up to the one who offers us the opportunity for a new beginning, a new heart, a new soul, a new mind, like unto the mind of Christ. Yet we should settle for nothing less in our lives. In a few moments, we will commune with our Lord. During the silent moments of meditation, let's all of us pray silently, asking God to come into our lives and forgive all of our mistakes and sins of the past and give us a new life in our Lord. The evening of the day before Jesus was crucified, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room for his last supper with them. And then he told them that they should meet around the table and remember him, his teachings, and what he did for them. We call this celebration Holy Communion. Just as Jesus always welcomed everyone who came to him, so we welcome everyone who loves our Lord to join us around his table this morning and partake of the bread and grape juice as symbols of our Lord's sacrifice and love for us. This is a time to commune with our Lord in meditation and prayer. All you who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and intend to lead a new life following the commands of God and walk from now on in His holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. And our communion hymn this morning is number 134.